Tanya for the 15th of Shvat is in Perek Chav Dalad, chapter 24. It's on Daf Lamed, Omud Aleph. The number at the bottom of the page is 102. We're a little bit past the middle of the page at the brackets. And this is why the sages say, Al posu kisiste ishte, on the verse that says, if a wife turns aside and is accused of adultery, the Gemara says, what does the word siste mean? Ein odom eiver aveza, that a person would not sin unless he's overcome with a ruach shtus. So the word siste, which means to turn aside, also means shtus, insanity. Because of what we said before, that when a person sins, he is denying God's oneness even more than the klipa itself. And since every person, every Jew by nature, is willing to die for God's oneness, how is it that he is committing the sin when the sin is a denial of God's oneness? It therefore has to be attributed to a temporary insanity. Because in this insanity there are two parts. One is that he thinks that he is not affected by the sin and that he remains as united with God as before the sin. That's one explanation of the insanity. The other is what the Rebbe, Alter Rebbe, has been building up in the past few chapters, is that the truth is, and the nature of a Jew is, that in doing the sin he severs himself from God, and that is something he would not tolerate and cannot tolerate were it obvious to him. And the reason that it isn't obvious to him is this insanity that makes the person sin. What do we see from this Gemara? That a person doesn't sin unless there's an insanity there. And the example is given concerning a woman who is committed, who is accused of adultery. Da'afilu isha mina efes, even a woman who is adulterous, shadaito kalo, obviously she is not in control. So we could blame her misbehavior on the passion and not on insanity, and yet the Gemara says that it's due to the insanity. Because even this woman would control her passion, were it not for this insanity. Because the insanity is mechaseu mastiru mailim, it conceals and hides and covers. Eso ahava misutere shebenafsho halikis, the love that is concealed in her godly soul. Dovko be'emunas Hashem, this love that moves a person to cleave to his faith in God. V'yichud v'yachduse, and in the oneness of God, v'leili parit chas v'sholim v'yachduse, and to not be severed from God's oneness, afilu neitlim, even at the price of their life, even if they would take their life. Afilu neitlim es nafsha mimena, even if they would kill her. And she refuses to do so because she refuses to worship an idol, God forbid. And it's not only that the sin of Avodah Zarah is a worse sin than adultery, and therefore she wouldn't bow to the idol, but she would commit adultery. We're not even talking about worshiping an idol. We're talking about bowing without worshiping, without believing at all. So it's an empty act. And even so, she would rather die than commit this empty act, which smacks of a denial of God. And yet in doing the sin of adultery, it is an actual denial. So if she's willing to give her life, and it is her nature to give her life rather than bow to the idol, then certainly she has the strength and the ability to overcome the Yetzirah and the passion, foregoing a pleasure or denying oneself pleasure is certainly less painful than death itself. The only thing is that in her mind, she distinguishes, she makes a difference between bowing to an idol and committing adultery, and that's why she would permit herself one and not the other. This distinction is also part of the insanity. This too is coming from Klipa. Because the Klipa affects even the thinking. It produces not only the passion, it affects also the thinking up to the level of Chachma. In other words, the Das and the Bina up to the level of Chachma, but not including the Chachma. As we learned earlier, a few chapters back, that because of the presence of godliness in Chachma, the Klipa can't corrupt Chachma. There where God makes himself known and visible, there can't be any denial of God. But until that level, there is. But in absolute truth, even a slight sin, when one transgresses even the slightest sin, he is transgressing against God's will. And that severs him totally from God's oneness, more than the unholiness itself. He's severed from God's oneness. That doesn't mean that he denies God's existence, but he is denying God's exclusive existence. More so than the Klipa, HaNikroyin Elikim Acherim. More so than the Klipa, which are called other gods. VaAveda Zara Mamish. And in its lower form, it becomes literal Aveda Zara. And yet, Aveda Zara, the person would never commit, even at the pain of death. And yet, these other sins, which are worse than the Klipa, which is called Aveda Zara, these sins a person does allow himself to commit. And that makes him worse than the Klipa. It also makes him lower and further from God's oneness than all of those things in this world that are created through Klipa, that are nourished from Klipa. And they are the unclean animals, the unkosher animals, and unclean cattle and insects and reptiles and so on. Okay, and as it says, Yatush Kadomoch, that a person should know man was created on the sixth day, whereas the insects were created on the fifth day of creation, and that is to tell us, the Gemara says, that if a person sins, then even the Yatush, even the gnat, was created before you, which means that even the gnat is higher than you. This insect called Yatush. Pirush, what is it about this insect? The af Yatush, shemach nizveine meitzi, this insect that ingests but doesn't excrete, it takes but doesn't give, even this animal, even this insect, is higher than the person who sins. And this character of taking and not giving, shehi klipa hayesa tachteinu rechekam b'chinas hakdusha, this is the lowest klipa and the furthest from holiness. Hamushpas betachlis hazichuk, because holiness gives even to great distances. In other words, even a very high level of holiness will give and share itself with even the lowest levels, that which is furthest from it. The Yatush, on the other hand, it won't give even to that which is close to itself, and certainly not to that which is distant. And as explained in Chassidus, that the Yatush has this hang-up that not only is it selfish, and not only does it want everything for itself, but even when it's to its own benefit, because the Yatush doesn't live very long. It ingests and doesn't excrete, and therefore it dies. So not excreting is causing its death. And even so, it refuses to leave any of itself that might nourish some other worm or some other insect. And that's the tendency in a human being, where even if he loses, even if it cost him, he would rather take the loss than permit someone else to benefit from that which is his. So this is the furthest thing from holiness. And even so, it is higher than the person who commits a sin. It is kedemes li'ishachete. It comes before, it is higher than the person who sins. In the sense of the descent of the energy from God's will, when a person sins, he is further from God's will than this yatush. And how much more so is he lower than other unclean animals, and even the wild beasts, because none of them change the properties or the instruction which God gave them. They behave according to those instructions. And God's instructions are kept by these animals. And although the animal has no freedom of choice, so what does it mean that they don't sin, they don't go against God's will? So the Rebbe says, even though they themselves are unintelligent, and they don't know right from wrong, but the klipa from which they are created does know right from wrong. The klipa, before it comes into the body of the animal, and it is that klipa that recognizes the fact that you can't go against God's will, and that's why the animal itself also doesn't go against God's will. And as we find written, that the fear of man is on all of the animals of the earth, that they all fear man. And as the Gemara explains, what does this mean? That the fear of man is on the animals. You see that the animals attack human beings. So the Gemara says, the only time an animal will attack a human being is if the human being appears to be an animal. But the tzaddikim, she'ein telem elikim, mistalik me'al pneim, but the tzaddikim who don't lose the divine image, the image of God in which they are created, so that they never appear to be an animal, even to a wild beast, then kol chayis rois iskafyan kamayim. All the wild animals are subdued and are tame in their presence. As the Zayar explains concerning Daniel in the lion's den. So we see from this that the animal doesn't change its behavior from what it is told to do. And it is told that it should fear the human being. And it does fear the human being. And therefore cannot attack a human being unless the human being appears to be an animal. And even this distinction itself, recognizing the tzaddik from the non-tzaddik, indicates that there is an awareness there on the part of their klipa, which is their source. So the klipa distinguishes between the tzaddik and the non-tzaddik. So therefore, the person who does violate God's will, afilu ba'aveda kalo b'shas ma'isehu b'tachlas ha'zichud mekdushah ha'oyenu. Even if he's violating a very slight sin, but during that sin, he is completely severed from God's holiness, shehi yichudei v'yachdusei yizbarich, which is God's oneness. And this distance that he creates between himself and God is yeser mikol bali chayim atmeyim ushkotzim urumozim ha'mushpoyim esitachar v'klipas avedazorim. He is further from God than all those unclean animals, the rodents and the vermin that are nourished by klipa and by sitra achra that are called avedizada. In the Hayem Yain for the 15th of Shvat, the Rebbe writes that when they were preparing the publication of the second part of Teza Eiz, it was already known to Hasidim that there were footnotes and explanations that the Tzemach Tzedek had written for those Maimonim. And they pleaded with the Tzemach Tzedek that he should print the footnotes and the explanations with the Maimonim. But the Tzemach Tzedek refused. He then dreamt that his grandfather, the Alter Rebbe, came to visit him and also asked him to print his footnotes and his explanations. But he kept it a secret, this about the dream, until three of his sons also dreamt the same dream, and they told their father. And then he agreed to publish his footnotes and his explanations to the second part of the Teza Eir. And the second part, the Chelek Sheni of Teza Eir, was named Likutei Teza.